Cheerio.
And at Radio Australia,
Eastern Time is 21:45.
Mr. Spellbank is Keith Glover.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mailbag as we reach the quarterway mark in this year of 1970. Yes, it's the last day of March, and to meet a new listening friend, Mr. Windsor at Arkansas. But before I speak to Mr. Windsor, I apologize for the gremlins that got at us last week. For those of you who were listening in the morning transmission last week, down completely on the mailbag because of the hitch. Those of you who listen to the night transmission are there to do it live. I think most of you know I can't be there the 24 hours of a Sunday to do all the mailbags that I do. Some of them are pre-recorded, but I did the evening one live last week. What happened, we're not too sure. But anyhow, Mr. Pennington of Simpsonville in South Carolina, Tommy Stars at Wrightstown, Maryland, Mr. Jacob at Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, the Tangredis at St. Petersburg Beach, Florida, Johnny Banter at Port Jefferson State, New York, Mr. Lison at Peoria, Illinois, and Robert Wilson at Morton Grove, Illinois, Mr. Maine in Fresno, California, John Colson and his wife Merle at Orange City, Florida, Mr. Bay Senuva in Mexico, all missed out last week. I hope you heard the evening transmission, but you missed out in the morning. Our apologies, but if you write to us again soon, you get a special, move into the circle again quickly. Okay, now, here's the first call for this week to, as I say, a new friend, John Gale Windsor, W-I-N-D-S-O-R, 1019 North Arthur Street, Little Rock, where the zip is 72206. Big welcome to you, John. Glad you enjoy our broadcast. You appear to be a very keen young man, because 4:40 a.m. on New Year's Day to miss the start of our transmission. And you recorded on your cassette recorder. And I'm very happy to read that you and your dad share this great hobby and how you long continue DXing together. And you've told us that you are taking music lessons at school. You don't tell us what instrument in particular, but you do want to waltzing Matilda. Well, John, have it available in sheet music, you know, for solo instrument or orchestrally. But here's the address of the music firm that can help you. Allen's Music Proprietary Limited, A-L-L-A-N-S, Allen's Music Proprietary Limited, 276 Collins Street, Melbourne, 3000 in Australia. And the Opera House is on its way to you with our very best wishes. John of 1019 North Arthur Street, Rock, Arkansas, 72206. From a keen young student of music, we turn to enthusiastic school teacher. His name, Keith Rogers, of Lake Elementary, 800 North Boulevard, Gunnison. That's G-U-N-N-I-N. Gunnison's in Colorado, where the zip is 81030. Hello there, and welcome from one Keith to another. And may I commend you and your plans to assist your young friends in this very special way. And Keith, let me quote from your letter direct, if I may. You say here, "Gentlemen, to help my students become more aware of your country, I am taking many segments of your radio station. In my home, I have a Drake SW4A receiver and a Sony tape recorder. The recorded tapes are taken to the classroom for my students to monitor. My students are very excited about listening to information about your country first. Well, just in case you're taking mailbag also, allow me to send my special Australian greetings to all girls and boys at Lake Elementary. Hello, girls and boys. And I sincerely hope you will always be interested in international goodwill, and each and every one of you play your part in extending friendships around the world. And now back to you, Keith. We've already mailed you quite a lot of literature that should assist you. And I'll subscribe to this special description here. It says, Colorado Teacher of the Year, 1974. We hope to hear from you again. And you are part, you know, of a growing group of teachers who are turning to shortwave as an added aid in teaching. That's Keith Rogers, Keith L. Rogers, at Lake Elementary, 800 North Boulevard, Gunnison, in Colorado, 81230.
A couple of letters and reports from an old friend, Mayor L. Gierken, of 558 North 5th Street, Watsika, in Illinois, 60970. Yes, Mayor, that word old only refers to the length of our friendship.
Oh, yes.
And incidentally, congratulations to the Old Town basketball team, champions again.
They've won that county championship three times in a row. Thanks for that newspaper clipping also. How's your cousin John at Naga?
Is he still writing DX News to his local paper?
Well, I want to thank you for sending me brief details about his new evaluation system. I'd be very happy to read more about it, but I can't really see that it would help by any great improvement anyway for our shortwave listeners. Anyway, keep up the good work, Myron. Myron L. Gierken, 558 North 5th Street, Watsika in Illinois, 60970.
Well, a happy surprise. It's not often that we
call someone in Kentucky.
That's the pleasure today, though, as I say hello to Joseph P. Dumanil,
D-U-M-E-S-N-I-L, Dumanil, of R.R. Young, Box 273-1, Prospect in Kentucky, where the zip is 40059. A warm welcome to you, Joe. You listen to us regularly on Saturdays and Sundays, but so far without the aid of one of our telegram guides. I'm Eventing Lemonies, and we've sent you some details of the history of the great Australian race, the Melbourne Cup. And to answer your query,
this Australian Classic
is always raced on the first Tuesday in November. So the next Melbourne Cup is set down for Tuesday, the 5th of November. And it'll be broadcast from Radio Australia direct, or live and direct, as we say sometimes. But you can hear it, you will be able to hear it as many others do in the States. And I was interested to learn from you, Jay, that the 100th Kentucky Derby will be run over there on the 4th of May. Now, Joe, if you attend that meeting, I'd be thrilled to receive your own observations on that historic centenary running of the Derby. Okay, good listening always. Joe Dumanil, D-U-M-E-S-N-I-L, Roar at 1, Box 273-1, Prospect in Kentucky, where the zip is 40059. Here's another welcome letter, and it's from Don Watson, Mr. Don Watson of 130 Willow Street, Acton, A-C-T-O-N, in Massachusetts, 01720. Hello, Don. Your letter addressed to our New York address was passed on to us for action. And an up-to-date program guide has been mailed to you, together with some information about our business club. That request from you, please me, yes, we would like to have you as a member of the business club, and the qualifying reports will be most welcome. And do tell us something about life in Acton when you have time to write again. Our very best wishes to you and yours, Don. Don Watson of 130 Willow Street, Acton in Massachusetts, 01720. Now, two letters here from one who has been a prolific letter writer over the years to Radio Australia, Mr. Lawrence Ward, 183 Summer Street, Newton in Maine, M-A-I-N-A, 04740. Lewiston wasn't stopped right on our letter, I'm afraid, Larry, but greetings to you. Always a pleasure to see your familiar writing. And Larry, you were greatly interested in a Radio Australia report on wild camels in Australia.
Oh, yes, we have them all right.
But as you heard, they were introduced to this country for transportation work in the outback, in the last century, many years ago. But camels are not native to Australia. You've been delving into other history too, Larry. You found a photo of me. You say it was taken in 1964, when, as you say right here, when I had dark hair. Oh, now, well... What hair I have left, Larry, is still dark, I think. Maybe a little bit peppery now, you know. A dash of grey here and there. I think I've still got dark hair, but I hope you get some fine days for your days off during springtime, Larry. All the very best to you. Lawrence Ward of 183 Summer Street, Lewiston, in the state of Maine, where the zip is 04740. Here's a fine photograph of a young friend of ours. He's Dennis Olson of 2101 22.5 Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, 61201. Hi there, Dennis.
Thank you for the photo.
And it's another jolly good letter. Now, your change of address has been noted. You lived previously at Bettendorf. Well, I was sorry to read about that bad rash you had as a result of contact with the poison act. It sounds very nasty.
Now, Dennis,
you asked two main questions about Australia's tallest building and about ham operators in Australia. And then I have a prime if I promise to do some homework myself before I get it to you in Melbourne. So I've done my homework. Here I go. Australia's tallest and largest building has a 602-foot or 183-meters high tower of the Australian Square complex. It was completed at a cost of $30 million in 1968. There were 50 floors, 47 being above street level, and it has a floor area of 550,000 square feet, 51,000 square meters. But, you know, I say that's the tallest and largest now, but there are bigger ones on the way. They're not completed yet, but that can still claim they have moving on so far.
Now, you've asked about hams. Well, as of the 30th of September 1973, there were 6,505 licensed amateur operators in Australia.
That in a total of 82 in Papua New Guinea who came under our classification here.
And they've been
increasing at the rate of about 100 a year, I'm told. But the latest figures show that during the year ended that I told you about, September 73, 100 were added, but 200 didn't make it. 200 tried, didn't quite get the qualification. You know, there's a lot of interest, no doubt. Some of those will try again.
Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis Dyson, 2101, 22 and a half Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, with a 661201. Next, a call to Whistle Club member number 3498. Mr. D.E. Park of 4498 Mobile Drive, Columbus, Ohio, 43220. Hello, John. Thank you for your continued interest, which goes beyond the minimum requirements for Whistle Club reports, you say here, and I quote from your letter. I'm aware that you require over 10 reports per month, but I think the additional material will provide a contrast based on weather conditions here. And so they do. Reports of all types are greatly appreciated, Don. And you certainly have a fine listening record as far as Club Guam's concerned. You've only missed three of those programs since it started. And two of those occasions when you're on holiday from California. Congratulations. And we will probably include an excerpt from one of your own voice pieces one of these days. Good DXing always to you, Don. Don Park of 4498 Mobile Drive, Columbus, Ohio, 43220. And this next letter was one that resulted in a club forum interview with Reg Boyle, that's Radio Australia's supervising engineer. The letter is from Mr. Eric Lockdown, 522 Fairview Avenue, Ripon, R-I-T-O-N, in Wisconsin, 54971. It's good to hear from you again, Eric. And you received the program guide from the Information Service of the Australian Consulate General in your country. And you also appreciate our transmission schedules. And you ask here what is meant by antenna gain, placed after the time indicator bars on the transmission schedule. Now, that's already been included in Club 4 as a result of your inquiry and two or three others. And I only hope that you heard his explanation because it was very simply expressed. He likened the whole business to the focusing of a torch. The finer the beam, the greater the distance it could reach. And we
can tell you also, of course, that you can
impress your knowledge of all these things by obtaining the booklet How to Listen to the World. But gain is really the signal gain derived by a certain part of the area with respect to the basic aerial system. Expressed in decibels. Anyhow, I think you've got your information and we'll be able to increase on that from the other books too, Eric. Eric Lockdow, L-O-F-D-I-H-L, of 522 Fairview Avenue, Ripon, in Wisconsin, 54971. Eric, would you let me know if you heard the Club Forum program with that interview too with Vince Boyle? Would you let me know if you can by letter? Here's an American who first got to know Radio Australia when he was in the Fiji Islands. The last letter I have today, too. His name is John P. Unary, or Unary. U-N-A-R-I-E. John, I'm sorry if I'm not right on the ball. Well, I'm trying to pronounce your name. U-N-A-R-I-E. 59 DePine Street, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, 02860. Hello there to you, John. We're delighted that you retained such a favorable opinion of our work. And as you can hear, the Curly Tooth Club is still alive. And you mentioned also, John, that Ken Griffin was your favourite organist in those days when you first heard me. Oh yes, I agree, he had a tremendous talent. But he was not an Australian, he was an American. But fortunately, we can still enjoy the recordings of the late Ken Griffin. Yes, Dom, you have not been meeting my Radio Australia studios when you visit here, but I doubt if your favourite comedian, Ralph Harris, will be around, because he spends most of his professional life in London these days. Anyway, we're very happy to hear from you. John Unary, on 59 Define Street, for Tackett, Rhode Island, 02860, and that's where we must part for another week. I'll be in Tasmania during the coming week, and I hope to talk more about that another time. Keep brother, wishing you all, until you next time. Good listening.
After all, Minnesota Pats never, ever had chocolate bars and bottles of Coke. Alex did once for the poorer time in his life. On an out of this world note, science fiction fans have been having a little ball in Sydney this week at the Australian Science Fiction Convention. Chairman Bob Smith attended the society's annual masquerade ball as none other than Flash Gordon.
Mr. Smith said science fiction fans were not all escaping. We're very worried about what's happening to this closed system on this spaceship Earth. We're not all escapers wanting to leap out into the sky, they said.
Of the convention centre, a motel in the Sydney beachside suburb of Bondi, Mr. Smith said, of course we would have preferred a spaceship. But they're a little hard to come by, and certainly at the present time.
One thing about the masquerade ball, the delegates didn't dance. That's apparently not the done thing in outer space these days.
Back to Earth, once again, with a story about a little common boy who has been helped back to health again by doctors at Sydney St. Vincent's Hospital.
He's Ophina Hingino, aged 14, who is the son of a banana farmer on one of the islands of the common group. For most of his life, he's been unable to walk.
Dr. Walter Warren, former president of Australia's Far West Children's Health Scheme, visited Connor in January and met Ophina by chance, who was vulnerable to be helplessly crippled by poliomyelitis. Dr. Warren, after meeting Connor's king, Taupa Ahau Kopo, first help and had him brought to St. Vincent's, where he underwent surgery.
It was successful, and next month, Alfilo, who is still encased in cancer, goes home to his father and his banana farm.
Finally, to the subject of toilet facilities, I must deal with some Newcastle University, the coal and steel city north of Sydney.
It seems that the university's Taylor Canyon was concerned about the lack of space in some of the university's toilets. In some cases, they were totally overcrowded. So although I asked the members of the new committee and please consideration whether or not the toilets should be desegregated.
The immediate result of this terrible suggestion was a rash of protest from all the revolutionary students. They said that the whole suggestion was totally indecent and repugnant to them.
Shared room?
Yes. Shared toilets? No. That's all for us this week. Next week, in Melbourne Notebook, Mary Lou, Joe Bard and Pat Treble will be here with the stories. The next time, this has been Rob McNeil
and Margaret Johnson.
Milwaukee's the place to address.
Now, is it your work that's taking you down there, Joseph? I think it is, you're fleeing through here.
Oh, yes. Joseph is with the Veterans Administration. The Veterans Administration. As a resident engineer. And his professional specialty is the construction of hospitals.
Gosh, Jay, your family's going to be well scattered.
But as you say, air travel reduces distances these days. I'm sorry you've had further trouble trying to pick up our evening transmission.
I wonder if you'll find it easier in Texas. Just might, you know.
Your children are named Marcia and Alan.
Well, here's a coincidence. My older sister and brother have the same names, Marcia and Alan.
But best wishes to Alan and his young lady. Next step, wedding bells in January for them. And I hope Marcia and her husband enjoy their new life at the Lutheran School. And a big cheerio to Patty. Your 200-pound St. Bernard. What a size he is. I wouldn't like that to feed him. 200-pound St. Bernard. I suppose Mrs. Gibson has that job to do at the moment. We'll continue to address Matthew in Wisconsin, Joseph. Joseph C. Gibson, 447 South 92nd Street, Milwaukee in Wisconsin, 53214. Now we move back east.
And our first mailbag call to Pennsylvania for a while. Mr. Timothy J. O'Donnell of 709 2nd Street, New Cumberland in Pennsylvania, 17070. And welcome to Mailbag, Timothy. After listening to Radio Australia,
you heard what is obviously
a domestic shortwave transmission
being to the inland of this country
and the surrounding islands. Two or three of these can be heard quite clearly in your part of the world
when propagation conditions are favourable. But, Tim,
I regret that we're unable to verify your report. You know why? Because it was undated. In fact, you haven't even put a date on this letter at all. So I trust you will try again for a QSL on one of those transmissions, but we do require the essentials to make it authentic. Now, with regard to your medical query, that condition, I understand, is called suspended animation.
Specialists can now defreeze patients,
observe their biological cycle for a while, and then bring them back to life,
figuratively speaking. And incidentally, some scientists consider that by this method,
some people will be able to remain young for a long time.
They simply go into a deep freeze and regain consciousness a few years later. You know, I thought about that a bit. I don't think I'd like that. It takes me quite a time now to keep up with the changes in today's world, let alone go to sleep and wake up in 15 or 20 years from now. How would you catch up with anything? Oh, well, good station hunting to you, Timothy, anyway. Timothy J. O'Donnell. Timothy J. O'Donnell. It's O, apostrophe, D-O-N-N-E-L-L, 709 2nd Street, New Cumberland in Pennsylvania, 17070. Now, here's a lady who's had a regular place in our mailbag audience over many years, and it's Sister Bertha C. Roos.
Sister Bertha Roos, R-O-O-S-E. Emmanuel Medical Center, 36 and Meredith Streets, or Avenues, is it? 36th Street and Meredith Avenue, Omaha, Nebraska, 68111. Hello, Sister Bertha. In fact, I have two attractive cards from you with your photo, for which I thank you very much. And one card tells a brief history of your center, which was formerly known as the Emmanuel Deaconess Institute. I remember calling you at that address. And this center is an important part of a great social ministry being maintained by the Lutheran Church in Nebraska. And Sister Bertha enjoys the worldwide news coverage from Radio Australia, and I'm very glad to know that the literature reached you safely too, Sister. You would also like to exchange shortwave cards with anyone listening anywhere. And you promised here, oh yes, to answer with one of yours. Now that's a faithful promise. You'll answer with one of your cards. A good offer for my mailbag friends, and thank you again for the constancy of your listening, Sister Bertha. Sister Bertha C. Roos, Emmanuel Medical Center, 36th and Meredith Avenue, Omaha in Nebraska, 68111 in the U.S. This next Illinois listener assures me that he has listened to Radio Australia for over a year now, and every day, I think, too. Charles Baird, it is. Charles M. Baird, 218 Northwestern Avenue, Peoria, Illinois, 61604. Thanks a million, Charles, for being such a regular. We're never quite sure, of course, just who or if anybody is on the receiving end, but assurances such as yours do a broadcaster's heart good. Yes, you win your bet, Charles. I often smile whilst I'm talking on Mailbag, and that's because it's a personal program. I'm talking especially to you at this moment, and meeting my listening friends is a happy occasion for me. Don't apologize for your reminiscent mood, Charles. I thoroughly enjoyed your letter, especially the stories of your earlier days in radio. Oh, yes, all sorts of tricks were devised in those early days of self-monitoring, such as thumbing one's nose and touching the microphone with a little finger, just to obtain the correct distance. Yes, we did all those sort of things. Keep up those bright letters, won't you, Charles, please?
Charles M. Baird, B-A-I-R-D, 218
Northwestern Avenue,
Peoria,
C-E-O-R-I-A. It's in Illinois. 61604 is the zip code in the U.S. Back with the ladies, and I do sincerely trust that Mrs. Baker will be able to hear me loud and clear today. This is Mrs. Bernice Baker, 6719 Windsor Mill Road, Baltimore, Maryland, 21207. Third time lucky, Mrs. Baker, I hope anyway. That last notification must have gone astray. And as I said in my letter to you, this is intriguing newspaper.
Well, you told me a little about your area
that I'd like to share with all of you.
Mrs. Baker says here, Windsor Mill Road is in a suburban area called Woodlawn
in Baltimore County,
right outside of Baltimore City.
This is a very pretty area.
Lots of trees, grass, flowers, and nice deep hips.
depressed.
But apparently it's changed a lot, Mrs. Baker, since you went out there 20 years ago.
Well, there's an interesting publication on its way to you and a current program guide we'll be following in a few days. And our very best wishes go to you, Mrs. Baker. Mrs. Bernice Baker, 6719 Windsor Mill Road, Baltimore, Maryland, 21207 in the U.S.
We're not actually going to visit a zoo in Mailbag, but for this last zoo, Raven, I'm going to chat to someone who works at a zoo. This is Mr. Thomas B. Bird, B-Y-R-D. 399 Smith Street, Buffalo in New York, 14210.
I'll resist the temptation of asking, does he
work in the bird section? But greetings, Thomas, and I trust you'll be happy with the news in our last letter. You've really put the Buffalo Zoo on the map in Mailbag. That's exactly what you'd think was the top of the zoo. It's located on 23 acres in the northeast corner of Delaware Park. That's the city's largest park. It's the second largest zoo in New York State and answers one of the leading zoos in the U.S. And it contains over 1,200 animals of more than 450 species,
and many of the exhibits are surrounded by ground or water-filled moats instead of the old barred cages and fences. And I noticed that you have some penguins in the birdhouse. You may have heard that off the coast of South Australia, a great rescue operation has been going on over the past week to save the lives of hundreds of fairy penguins, badly
afflicted by a huge oil slick.
And I noticed, too, that the Children's Zoo at Buffalo, operated now by the Zoological Society, was the result of a $40,000 gift from the Rotary Club of Buffalo. Now, some of those very Rotarians may be in Australia at this moment, because Sydney has been a venue of, over the past week, of a World Conference of Rotarians, some 15,000 of them, here to honour Australian Rotary's 50th anniversary.
And, of course, Sydney is also the site of Australia's best-known zoo,
Taronga Park. And that's where I think I must leave you. Thank you for a very fine mailbag contribution. Thomas B. Bird, 399 Smith Street, Buffalo in New York City. New York State, I should say. New York State, 14210. And that's Keith Glover, your mailman, saying cheerio until next week.
Keith Glover and Radio Australia's Overseas Mailbag, North American Edition. Australian Eastern Time, 8 o'clock American Eastern Time.